biblical understanding. Sometimes the most foundational, even elementary topics can be difficult to understand. So how do we grab a spiritual understanding to these things that are so crucial to our relationship with Christ? Welcome to Transforming Conversations with Pastor Rock Dilliman. With over 30 years of ministry, preaching, and biblical study, Pastor Rock discusses biblical topics that bring them into a fresh new light that is easy to understand and apply to our lives. And now, your host for another Transforming Conversation, Greg Hughes.
Welcome back, as always, to another Transforming Conversation, and sitting here with Pastor Rock. Pastor Rock, I would like to throw something at you. We're living in a time right now, it seems, that a lot of violence, a lot of killings, a lot of death, especially with school shootings and the younger folks just going crazy with this. And it's very disturbing, you know, talking with my 17-year-old about all this and trying to get a grasp on his understanding, what he thinks about school shootings, and he has some fears, you know, it could happen anywhere. I really would love for your thoughts on how this scripture plays a part of this. Does scripture play a part of this? How can we as believers of Christ navigate this seeming time we're in?
Yeah, well, good question. Taking, for example, the much publicized matter of school shootings that's right in the news every day. And at the time of this taping is the day after a lot of students stepped outside the classrooms and the school buildings protest, and demonstrated right about guns in school and security in school and so on. And as I watched all of that unfolding, I'm certainly not opposed to demonstrations, but I've participated in demonstrations. I think their value is in raising consciousness.
Right.
But as I watch these things and the ongoing debate about gun ownership or assault rifles and all of the rest, the thought that keeps occurring to me is that this culture doesn't like the symptoms of its rebellion against God.
Right.
But it refuses to deal with the cause of those symptoms. It just tries to remove the symptoms. So it's akin to an addict, let's say a heroin addict, who doesn't like the way their heroin addiction has changed their appearance, because it does change a person's physical appearance. Heroin addicts take on a heroin look.
Right, right.
So because they don't like the way they now look, they seek to address that by changing their makeup and getting a facelift and changing their hairstyle rather than seeking help for their addiction.
Exactly. Right.
And as I look at the debate about gun ownership, assault rifles, yada, 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 that's what this culture is doing. It's attempting to address the symptom of its spiritual rebellion rather than addressing the cause,
the rebellion itself,
of this symptom.
Right.
Why do we have shootings in schools? It goes far deeper than the availability of guns.
Right.
I look at this culture, and it increasingly mocks and rejects as archaic, phobic, bigoted, hateful, unuseful, unscientific, etc., 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 biblical faith and biblical values. Well, when you do that, you raise generations of children that don't have a foundation.
Right.
That don't have anything permanent upon which to build their lives. Because if you build your life upon the values and the teachings of culture, they're constantly shifting.
That's right.
They're constantly changing. I mean, I've lived 68 years at the time of this taping. I've seen monumental cultural shifts, many of them, right, during my lifetime. So if you build your life upon culture or the prevailing teachings of society, they're always changing. Plus, as believers, we know they're false.
Right.
So we raise generations of children that don't have a foundation from which to deal with the challenges of adolescence, the insecurity, finding your identity, feeling good about who you are, relating to your peers, dealing with peer pressure, on and on and on and on. It's a tough time of life. If you don't have a foundation from which to deal with those things, that produces a great amount of frustration.
That's right.
So, there's that. Secondly, we have unleashed a culture of death in our nation through abortion. Our kids who are now teens, millions of their brothers and sisters and peers were destroyed in the womb.
That's right.
When a culture devalues human life, when it determines the value of a child in the womb solely on the basis of whether or not the mother wants it, that's not just a medical matter, an economic matter, and a social matter. It's not merely a reproduction rights matter.
Right.
It is a spiritual matter. And if you go back in history, the sacrifice of children is always one of the fruits of demonic activity. The ancient cults in the days of ancient Israel sacrificed children. And when Israel fell into idolatry, they sacrificed children. The sacrifice of children has always gone hand in hand with demonic influence. So I have no doubt that in the United States, unbelievers would scoff at this, but I have no doubt that we have unleashed demonic forces. We have opened the door to their influence.
That's right.
And as a result, once again, our children have suffered deeply. Third, we glorify violence in this culture.
We do. You're right.
So many of the movies produced by Hollywood focus on violence.
Right.
On destruction, on gore, on torture.
That's right.
The video games,
oh my,
that our children play, a great many of them are about slashing, shooting, goring, crushing, maiming.
Right.
I mean, children watch television programs where people are routinely shot and stabbed and blown up and obliterated. The Walking Dead and zombie craze, blowing people up and, you know, showing the blood propelling out the back of the person that's just been hit with a gunshot. The games the children play are all about blowing somebody away in your path, increasing your score by the numbers of them you exterminate.
Right.
Again, what does that do? It desensitizes people to violence. It removes the shock and the horror. And it implants in young, impressionable minds the idea that if people in front of you are ticking you off or hindering your process or causing you grief, you blow them away.
That's right.
Much of our music expresses angst, uncertainty, confusion, moral ambiguity.
Right.
I could go on and on. You put all of these things together. Children being born into a society of death where the sacredness of human life has been lost. Where the value of a human being depends on the whim of the parent. Then you expose them to a worldview that has no solid, unchanging foundation, leaving them at the whims of what this culture say is okay today and will that change tomorrow. Then you inundate them with education and entertainment that glorifies violence, that shows violence is the way to solve things. You mock the idea that there are moral absolutes.
That's right.
You expose them to teachings that give no peace, because peace comes from the presence of God. And then, when a distraught young person who has been either bullied or who has mental health issues or is angry and frustrated because of the dissolution of his home in a culture that years ago said, hey, divorce is fine and it doesn't hurt the kids. A kid who's been raised watching entertainment where the way you deal with things is violence, who plays games that are all about violence and shooting people away, blowing people away, and who has done that for years without any consequences. And then one day he gets a gun and goes and just blows people away. And the culture marvels and asks, why is this happening and how could this happen? And it would be laughable if it wasn't so tragic. I believe it was Chesterton who years ago said, we mock virtue and then we're shocked that there are thieves among us. If you teach a generation there are no moral absolutes, if you teach them there's no permanent foundation to moral decision making, if you raise them in a culture of death and exterminate many of their peers in the womb, if you inundate them with graphic images of violence and encourage them to spend hours a day in games and entertainment that focus on violence, if you encourage marital breakup, which as we now know once again hurts the child, not the teaching that it done hurt the children, not only was it wrong, it was really wrong, because now the same experts are saying, oh, it does hurt the children. Duh. You do all that, you mock God, you mock virtue, and then you're surprised that there's violence in your midst.
That's right. That's right.
That's why I say it would be laughable if it wasn't so tragic.
Yeah. It is tragic.
You know, we mock virtue, and then why are so many of our politicians crooks?
Yeah.
We mock virtue. Why are so many of our business people dishonest? We inundate people's hearts and minds with sex, 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 and then we wonder why there are so many predators.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going to weigh in on the gun issue because, sadly, even Christians are prone on issues like that to lock in on symptoms rather than causes.
Right. And this is a whole point.
But we're not going to solve it by greater restrictions on guns. Now, might that have some positive effects? Yeah. We're not going to solve it by putting armed guards at every school. Would that create more safety? Yeah, I think that's pretty logical that it would.
Sure.
Somebody coming to school with a gun, if he knows an armed guard has got to greet him, he's got to think twice.
Sure.
But is that going to solve the problem? No.
No.
Because you can't sow to the wind without reaping the whirlwind. And the United States as a culture has sown to the wind, and it's now reaping the whirlwind. And it wants to solve it by putting up a break wall.
Right. It's not going to happen.
No.
No.
It's not going to happen. The violence in the schools is symptomatic of something that goes much deeper.
That's right.
And so all of society's emotion-laden rhetoric and hate and demonstrating about guns is, to me, akin to the heroin addict that doesn't like their look saying, I need new makeup and a facelift.
Right.
Now, we're reaping what we as a culture have sown. You know, in the same vein, people complain loud and long about the ungodly lifestyle and values of our current president. But the things they don't like in our current president are the very things that we as a culture have practiced, promoted, and celebrated.
That's right.
You know,
right.
When Donald Trump was elected, you know, you heard a lot of people saying, not my president. And I just wanted to shout, precisely, your president. We promote immorality. And then we're offended that
he's immoral. That
he's immoral.
Yeah.
We promote the crass. And then we're offended that he's crass. Materialism is our primary idol. And then we're offended that he's materialistic.
Right.
We mock virtue and we're offended that he's not virtuous. We jump on social media to flaunt and express our every emotion and angst, and we're offended that he tweets.
Right.
We spend our time taking selfies and putting them on Facebook, which its very founder admitted is an industry based on narcissism. And then we're offended that our president is a narcissist.
It's all about him, right?
You know, I mean, people get the rulers they deserve. Scripture teaches that.
Yeah.
So American society has gone the way of, in many places, rejecting God. When that happens, everything breaks down. And seeking to solve this problem simply through gun legislation is like, to use the old phrase, rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. We've got much bigger problem than guns.
Yeah.
And the sad irony is the majority of people in our culture will never acknowledge that, because to acknowledge it is to admit that Scripture was right.
That's
and
right.
That there is a God, and there is moral accountability,
right.
And that Jesus was right. So they'll keep trying to eliminate symptoms and demonstrate and spend billions of dollars and pass legislations and accomplish really, I'm afraid, very, very little.
Right.
Because this issue goes much deeper than the availability of guns. Much deeper. And by the way, the other thing is, when I listen to the moral outrage about guns, several things come to mind. When there's a shooting in a nice, white, suburban school, great moral outrage. Every day, black young men and women are dying in our cities in far greater numbers. Daily, not every few months, and it's crickets.
Right. Don't hear much about it.
Don't hear much.
Nope.
Don't see these big demonstrations. Don't see the celebrities who can hardly put a sensible sentence together if they aren't reading a script. You don't see them getting all up in arms over that.
But these precious souls are just...
Dozens of children die every day as a result of addiction. Where are the demonstrations? Dozens daily.
Right.
Not 17 every 6 months. Dozens daily. Far more children die by texting and driving. Again, where are the movements to address these things? So much of our society's moral posturing is very selective and very racist.
Yeah.
And it values white lives more than black lives. The other irony is that the people who despise the church because we're preachy do not hesitate to use the media as their pulpit and preach to the rest of us about what our morality ought to be. And again, not seeing the hypocrisy of it. They can see the hypocrisy of Christians. But when a Madonna, who objectified women all her professional life by portraying herself as a sex object on the stage.
That's right.
When a Madonna, who is a part of a music industry that denigrates women and projects them as sexual objects and uses sexuality to sell records. When a Madonna, who's part of an entertainment industry that spews sexual imagery into living rooms nonstop, in which women are objectified as sexual objects.
Right.
When those people stand up and preach to the rest of the nation about what our attitude towards women ought to be, and do so to crowds of men, many of whom go home from the demonstrations and view pornography.
Right.
If that isn't rank hypocrisy, I don't know what is. But you see, when a culture turns its back on God, as I've said before, sin makes you stupid.
It does.
Did you really think you could portray women as sex objects so that you could make money and not have men who treat women as sex objects? What do you expect?
Right.
You sow what you reap, or you reap what you sow.
Right, right.
But Scripture says when a culture rejects God, they'll always be learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And that's where we're at. So it's bigger than guns, but barring a miraculous spiritual renewal in this nation, people will deny that, and they'll seek to treat symptoms. And sadly, I'm afraid they're not going to solve much.
That's why the church
needs to be the church.
Yes.
Because while the majority will just be ticked off and reject us, that minority who will hear and be delivered are precious to God.
And those men who are Christ-professing believers need to be in their homes.
Yep.
Not just a nice face on Sundays.
Yep.
So, well, I'm sure we could go for a while yet, but
yeah.
I appreciate your thoughts. It's very enlightening. Yeah.
Thanks, Greg.